In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you. Do you know that Mark's gospel is really a passion narrative? It's all about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many times did he tell his people that he must go to the cross and be rejected by the elders, by the chief priests, by the scribes? How many times does he tell us this reality? He tells us because he wants us to know that the cross is central. The cross is central. We saw Paul in Athens, and he talked with all the philosophers, and he told them about the resurrection, but he didn't tell them about the cross. He only had two or three converts. I tell you that the cross is central. The center of humanity is a crucified, risen Savior. The center of humanity is a crucified, risen Savior. I want to look again at Mark 8:38. Whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. We live in an adulterous and sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and of his holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus today? You say, no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. When's the last time you shared someone about Jesus? When's the last time you gave your witness to somebody? What happened with you as God changed you? When's the last time? Well, I don't want to come on too strong. You don't have to come on too strong. You just need to tell people what God has done for you, what Christ has done for you. You don't have to come on too strong. You don't have to come on. If they don't accept it, that's okay. You've planted seeds. You've planted seeds. And he said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, that there are some here that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. And we're going to see that in a minute. The kingdom of God come in power at the Mount of Transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. He was transfigured before them. They are stupefied, I'll tell you. They are scared. And this raiment, his clothes, became shining exceedingly white as snow, so that no bleacher on earth could do this whiteness. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. What are they talking with Jesus about? The weather? The sun? The sky? No. They're talking with Jesus about his death, that he must go into Jerusalem, and that he would be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, and that he would die on a cross. That's what they were talking to Jesus about. Jesus knew it, but they are telling him, it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So we know that this happened in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles. And he was not knowing what he was saying, for they were very afraid. Afraid. They see Moses and Elijah. They see Jesus, the glory of God shining through Jesus. They're scared stiff. So let's do something that we know how to do. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, I'll tell you, that's why when an angel appears to Mary, the angel says, don't be afraid. because she was afraid. When you see an angel, my Lord, it's great, the greatness of the holiness of a holy angel. You know, imagine seeing Jesus, who is far infinitely greater than the angels. He is the King of angels. He is the Lord. He is the one that the whole Bible talks about. From Genesis to Revelation, it says Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. They were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Oh, if we would only listen to Jesus. If we would only listen to Jesus, we wouldn't be in trouble. We wouldn't be in trouble if we would only listen to Jesus. We can hear him in his word. We can hear him in our hearts. If we would only listen to Jesus. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore, only Jesus with themselves. Well, we know that the two people that were with Jesus were Moses and Elijah. And this is very interesting, because Elijah didn't die, but Moses did. And yet, these are the saints. Moses is a saint. He's gloried. He's filled with the glory of God. He died. Elijah didn't die. When people say, "You people pray to saints," listen, I pray with saints, because they are in the presence of God. What about our Blessed Mother? I pray with Mary, because she is in the presence of God, and we need her prayers. I've been turning to our Blessed Mother lately, more than ever in a long time. I've been turning to her because I need a mother. Do you need a mother? Then you turn to Mary. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them that they should tell no man about the things they had seen, till the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. In other words, don't tell anybody what happened on the mountain until Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one to another what the rising from the dead should mean. They have no idea. And Jesus keeps on telling them that the Son of Man will die, he will be persecuted, he will die, and he will rise from the dead. They have no idea. They kind of blocked it out. Maybe they didn't want to hear it. Maybe they didn't want to hear it. They wanted Jesus to stay with them as he was. And they asked him, saying, "Why say the scribes that Elijah must first come?" And he answered and told them, "Elijah has first come and restores all things. How is it written that the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things and be set at naught?" Elijah came in the person of John the Baptist. "But I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever was written of him." That's John the Baptist. Elijah came, and he said, what did they do to him? They chopped off his head. But you see, he was a witness for Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. He allowed them to kill himself. He didn't kill him. He didn't commit suicide. They chopped his head off. And I can just hear John the Baptist saying, "The woman you're with is not your wife. You married your brother's wife, and that's evil." And when he came down to his disciples, down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes were questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and they were running to him and saluted him. They all want a touch from Jesus. Do you know, it's the same day. We want a touch from Jesus. We need a touch from Jesus. We need that Jesus would touch us, and that Jesus would give us his presence. And he asked the scribes, "What question do you have with them?" And many of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto you my son," one of the multitude, "who hath a dumb spirit." So we go from glory into agony. "My son has a dumb spirit." And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, he foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, he pines away. And I spake to your disciples, and they could not cast out, they could not do anything for him. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought the child unto Jesus. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, how long is this since he has been like this? And he said, since he was a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy himself. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, if you can, you're talking to Jesus. If you can, Jesus can do anything. He's the Lord. Jesus said unto him, if you can, believe all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. And straightway the father of the Lord cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, yes. He was being honest. I believe you can do this, but help my unbelief. And what does Jesus do? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. Oh, Jesus spoke to the spirit, and the spirit came out. And the spirit cried and rent him in sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Let me tell you the story that happened to me at E.I. Osborne's church way before I was a priest. I had never seen a meeting like this. They were dancing, they were screaming, they were praising the Lord, and I had praised the Lord, but not like this, and I just wanted to get out of the place. And what happened with me was this. The Lord was speaking to me, and he said, it is finished. It is finished now. It is finished now. And I said to the Lord, I know it's finished, but I want to get out of here. Well, there was a young man that went up to be prayed with, and he was mocking God. With that, the minister knew he was mocking God, and he touched him, and the man started to foam at the mouth and jump around. He was on the floor. Demons were coming out of him. He looked dead. He looked dead. At the end of the service, the minister came up to me and said, the Lord was speaking to you. He says, here is the man that was with demons. Now he is free. I want you to just shake his hand. And I shook his hand. I start speaking in other languages like I never had before. Oh, yes, I saw someone who looked dead. But then he got up. His face was shining with the sun. The sun, it looked like the sun was on his face. He had received the Holy Spirit. He first went up there to mock God, but the minister knew he was mocking God, and he placed his hand on him and commanded the demons to come out of him. And he looked dead, but then when he rose, his face was like the sun. He shook my hand, and I started praying in other languages. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can only come out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. When is the last time you fasted, Father Tom? I can't remember. I'm telling you the truth. I can't remember the last time I fasted. Prayer and fasting. I told you of the lady that had come, her place, she was cursed, her food was cursed, and she had demons. But they came to the house, prayer and fasting, and the demon left her. I never forget it, because after the demon left her, the presence of God was so real in that chapel. It was so glorious. You could feel God all around. I tell you, God is powerful. Christ is more powerful than the demons. Christ is infinitely more powerful than Satan. I'm telling you, Christ is not the incarnation of Michael the Archangel, but Christ is the eternal, begotten Son of the Father, made flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, comes about in Bethlehem, lives in Nazareth, and then for 3 years he heals the sick, he preaches, he casts out demons. And they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he would not let any man know what had happened. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise on the third day. He tells them this over and over again. How do they respond? But they didn't understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him, What does it mean? He told you what it means. They put this block up. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. We want to take this show on the road. I don't want to think about you dying on a cross. I don't want to think about you being rejected. We want to continue to do what we're doing. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, that's Peter's house, he asked him, What was it that you were disputing among yourselves on the way? And they held their peace, for on the way they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Do you see why Jesus has to die? That these men are with Jesus for 3 years, and still they're up thinking, who is the greatest? Do you see why Jesus had to die? He had to take all that ego. He had to break it. He had to break all the sin. He had to consume all that was dark and offer it to the Father. And he did that on the cross. Who is the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, that's not what the world says. The world says something different. If you are the greatest, you get the best room in the house, you get the best salary, the best job, because you're the greatest. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, Whosoever shall receive one of these children in my name receives me, and whoever shall receive me receives not me, but him who sent me. Oh, yes, isn't that wonderful? If you have a baby, you know, because God tells you to, you're receiving Jesus. You're receiving Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus is into children. He's not into birth control. Jesus is into children. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw someone casting out devils in your name, and he doesn't follow us. So we forbade him because he doesn't follow us. Here we go, Catholic and Protestant. You know, started very early in the Bible. Who are you to say that he should stop because he doesn't belong to our group? Anyone who speaks no evil of me, only speaks good, leave him alone. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man who does a miracle in my name that can speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall not lose your reward. I told you, when I was in the seminary, I always used to fill up the glasses with the pitcher. Because I said, Jesus said, if you give one of these little ones a drink of water in my name, you know, you do it for me, and the reward will not be taken away from you. I passed out more water than I could ever imagine. And when someone gets me a drink, I often say, you know, Jesus said that if you give one of his people a drink in his name, it never will be forgotten. You get a reward. Because I'm one of his minor little ones, one of his little ones in a big body. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believes in me, it was better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into heaven maimed than having two hands going to hell into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter heaven with one foot rather than 2 feet entering into hell where the fires never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In other words, listen, he's not saying cut your legs off. He's not saying pull your eyes out. What he's saying is this. He's saying it's so important that you not sin, because if you sin, you're going to hell. So you have to hold this close. He's not into pulling eyes out, but it's just kind of a way of saying things, that it's so important that you enter into heaven. It would better be entered to heaven with one leg or one eye than to enter hell with two legs or two eyes. You see, heaven is what it's all about. We have our citizenship in heaven right now. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we have our citizenship. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and you be cast into the fire of hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will it be seasoned with? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Do you know? We need to hear this. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. We need to hear this with Catholics and people that are not Catholics. We drove by the Assembly of God Church on New Year's Eve at 10 o'clock, and it was mobbed. Every single car was in the parking lot, and they were triple parked. And I thought and said, most of these people are Catholic, and they've gone to this church. But you know what? Bless them for praying the New Year in, Lord. These people are praying the New Year in, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I know most of them were Catholic, but what are you going to do? At least they're praying, and they're praying in the New Year. And what happens? It becomes a blessing for us and for everyone around us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Don't look at other people thinking that they are our enemies. There is only one enemy that we have. It is the devil. He is the enemy. The people who are different than we are and believe in Jesus, they are not our enemy. They never were our enemy. They never will be our enemy. They are our brothers and sisters. That's real. That's real. That's real. If I could bring them into the Catholic Church, would I? Yes, I would. But you know what? Right now, they're not in the Catholic Church, but they're praising God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that the church was mobbed that New Year's Eve at about 10 o'clock? And I'm sure the high praises of God was on their lips and in their hearts. And it made me feel wonderful in one way and sad in another, because many of them were Catholic. And only God knows why they left. I don't know why they left, but thank God they're praising God. Thank God they're praising God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do not be ashamed of Jesus today. Tell somebody about Jesus today. Let somebody know that they're not alone, that Jesus is for them, that Jesus is with them, and that Jesus has a plan for their life. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.